You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
How is your congregation prepared to respond when a disaster happens in your community or nearby? Today, we'll check in with Reverend Michael Meyer of the LCMS Disaster Response to get a preview of the upcoming LCMS Disaster Response and Training Conference. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Nebraska. You can learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska by visiting cune.edu. Joining us today, the Reverend Michael Meyer, Managing Director for the LCMS Office of National Mission, also serves in the area of LCMS disaster response. Pastor Meyer, welcome back.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me.
It is good to have you in studio and get to spend some time with you talking about this upcoming conference. Before we talk about the theme for this upcoming conference and what's happening in that, I want to revisit what's been going on with LCMS disaster response for the last decade or so. How have you seen LCMS disaster response grow across districts and among congregations as well in the LCMS?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. And as you know, I mean, I've been serving a disaster response now 12 years because, Andy, we started on the same day at the International Center. So we just had an anniversary last month. So that's an interesting question. I mean, the program has grown, I would think, exponentially, really in two different kinds of ways. One of them is in a formal, procedural sense, the structures that we have for our alert volunteers, for deployments when we send out those volunteers, for training and raising them up beforehand, all of these things have been revised and matured and grown into what we have today, which is, I think, a world-class volunteer organization. So we have all these kinds of structures. We've got software that we utilize with our volunteers. We run background checks and all these other things that we never did 10, 12 years ago. And certainly, even at that time, we had trouble even knowing who our volunteers were. We had paper copies of things. And not even of all the people who had been trained. We had a stack about 2 inches tall of just individual registration sheets. And this was even, you know, 6 years ago when we started looking at software programs to automate a lot of these things and to bring this into the digital age, which has done a lot of really fascinating and wonderful things for us so that we can send out automatic notifications for people who have signed up for a training or an event. They can go into this website and portal and see their own account. They can track their hours so that this year we know for a fact that over 1,000 people have been trained in the Lutheran Early Response Team program. And last year alone, over 20,000 hours were tracked in our volunteer portal. Again, something that we had no idea the magnitude of this 10 years ago. And so in these ways, it's grown, and certainly in a more formal sense where we can track it and we can talk about just the wonderful good things that our people are doing across the LCMS.
Yeah, I know. I've been here, I think, 3 less years than both of you. But even over my time here, I've seen the growth that you're talking about. And it's been really amazing to see that. My own husband's gotten involved with some things, too, and to just know that this is a thing that happens with the LCMS, with a Lutheran response to disasters. It's been really great to see all this growth. Why is this important? Why is disaster response and mercy work an important part of what we do in the LCMS?
Well, I think it's simply an outflowing of who we are as Christians, that we, like Jesus, care for people in their bodies and souls, right? So, and we can look to Jesus for all the things that he did in his life, where he preached the gospel, he proclaimed that the kingdom of God is near, and yet he did not neglect people in their bodies, right? So he heals the sick, he restores the sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. He feeds the 5,000. He has compassion on them. This kind of this outflowing again from Jesus himself to those around him as creation is kind of restored. Well, we can't restore creation in the same way, certainly, that Jesus did. We can speak and we can preach and we can confess the wonders and beauties of what Jesus has done for us, but we can also then love our neighbors as he first loved us, right? So that's kind of an allusion to this passage in 1 John, where John is writing this epistle, and we love because he first loved us, and it's what overflows as the cup, as Jesus pours into us, it overflows and into our lives and what we say and in what we do. And we do this collectively as a church body through all of the various mercy organizations or pieces of what we are in the LCMS, and of course now in disaster response which, again, as we've noted, is over the last couple of decades has taken off.
It's at the core of who we are as Lutherans. It's as Christians. It's at the core of who we are. And I think that's what prompted all the extra efforts to organize and to structure how you go about disaster response. You mentioned organizations too, maybe some RSOs that I'm sure you work alongside to accomplish this. How have the organized efforts, whether it's the new software or collaborating with RSOs, recognized service organizations, districts, congregations, how has all of this organization and structure over the last decade enabled us to respond promptly and effectively?
Yeah. So kind of taking a step back, if we want to respond effectively, we need to be trained and know what to do when we go into these situations. So one of the things this has allowed us to do 10 years ago, we probably had about 15 LERT trainings every single year. In part because I could do about 10 or 11. And then we had a couple of other individuals that did one or two a year, right? So that got us to about 15 a year. So far, between January and August of this year, we've done over 75, 80 LERT trainings. That's an exponential increase that the software that our this growth in the program and raising up trainers and all of these other pieces have really allowed us to multiply our efforts. So if we're doing that on the training side, certainly this now then applies into the response side. So we can use the same software that instead of, you know, after a disaster, we all want to kind of know what's going on. We all want to know, you know, who and where should we get information from, right? Well, we put all of this into our website now. So people aren't picking up the phone and, you know, the pastor who just lost his home isn't getting 1,000 phone calls from everybody across the Senate asking what's happened. We have that conversation, and then we share that information through this this tool so that everybody is up to date there, and we can post immediately needs that they have, whether they're physical goods that we need to kind of gather and transport there, or when we establish a deployment with housing for volunteers, tools, a site coordinator to manage and collect all the work orders and put the teams and match those all kind of up. All of these things are really something that has grown out in the last 5 years through this formal process that we can respond within days, which, again, 10 years ago, while we might have been on the ground as a disaster response staff within 24 or 48 hours, it was normally weeks before we had some kind of broad volunteer response. We can get this turned around in 48 hours now when it's safe. We don't send our volunteers into areas where it's not safe, where they're still doing search and rescue and those kinds of things. We want it to be a safe environment for our volunteers and one that's going to be actually a blessing to the community that's been impacted rather than kind of getting in the way of first responders and things like that.
Yeah, the aftermath of disasters can, I'm sure, as you know, can be chaotic with people people that are experiencing the disaster, but also people who want to help immediately. So it's good to have an organized response coming from you guys.
Yeah, we have a saying that we don't want our volunteers to become the second disaster to any disaster, right? So that's what spontaneous volunteers can be, that when they can get hurt when they're not trained, or they can just kind of get in the way and gum things up and impede those search and rescue efforts and for safety.
Yeah. So there's a conference coming up in September 17 to 19 here at the LCMS International Center. How long have these conferences been going on?
That's a really good question. I think it's probably been about 15, 16 years that we've had an annual conference every single year, with the exception of COVID 2020. And that one we just kind of stalled and pushed off a few months. I've been a part of, this is going to be my 13th conference now. Wow. So before that, there were about three, maybe there were four conferences before that. And in those early years, we kind of rotated a little bit between national disaster conferences and international disaster conferences. So every third year we had an international one. We brought in church partners from around the world and sat with them and provided some training. We've since kind of pushed that out into the various regions. It's more cost effective for us to do that, so that we provide those trainings now in those various regions of the world. And here in the United States, we simply focus on training our own leaders, our assessors, our team leaders, our coordinators, and all the various other kinds of specialized personnel that we have in our program.
That's just amazing. Thanks be to God for that.
Yeah, amen.
It's become so organized and able to respond effectively. We'll talk more about what we're going to learn at the conference in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason. To use your God-given gifts to help others. To live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world. To live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are talking with the Reverend Michael Meyer, LCMS Office of National Mission and LCMS Disaster Response. The upcoming LCMS Disaster Response and Training Conference, that's the National Disaster Response and Training Conference coming up this September. And before we get into a few more details about that, let's talk about some examples of disasters where LCMS Disaster Response, local congregations, districts were able to respond in a timely manner because the training and efforts to prepare have been so useful.
Yeah, so I've got two different examples here.
Okay.
One is an international example where we've been providing the alert training in a Latin context. So our resources, a lot of them are available in Spanish so that we can use them here in the United States for Spanish-speaking communities. But in this case, looking at Latin American countries. For example, we have a partner church in Chile. I think I might have said Argentina as we were talking through this kind of off the record, but it was actually in Chile where we have a partner church there who has been receiving alert training with their pastors, and then they've been in turn sharing this and leading and raising up their own congregations to do this kind of service. And it was always under the auspices of the pastors there. And one of the struggles they had was actually engaging their people to kind of generatively on their own love and care for the neighbors. Well, there was just a few years ago, there was a pastors conference. So all those pastors in Chile were in a different country and they were receiving a different kind of training. And a disaster occurred in their home country of Chile. And they weren't home to kind of oversee and lead it. Well, the members of their congregation just kind of stepped up and started calling their neighbors, performing works of mercy in an organized way. They started getting work groups together. It was really fascinating because in that culture, that was a very unusual thing for them. But because of this training, because of the work that they have been doing beforehand, they really just kind of stepped up and mobilized, even in the temporary absence of their pastors. And I think I can point to probably a half dozen disasters in the last year where I've responded and visited with our volunteers who have shared with me about how they just went through the alert training, right? So in Spencer, Iowa last year, we had just catastrophic flooding in the northwest part of Iowa. And I remember speaking with volunteers who were there, and they said, yeah, we just went through the alert training last week. We never thought we were going to be doing this, but they found themselves actually doing it. And of course, we're incredibly thankful that they went through that training in the first place and that it sparked that within them, to that desire to serve their neighbor. But I can point to that. I can point to the hurricane that just last fall came in through Florida and up into North Carolina, and the training that the Southeastern District has been providing over the last couple of years with our kind of that, as I mentioned, the maturation of this program. They've been really running hard with this and even providing regional disaster response conferences that we support, and we'll go and we'll encourage them during that time. But the number of volunteers they've been able to send out to Camp Lynn Haven in North Carolina through Mount Pisgah Lutheran Church in Hendersonville, North Carolina. This week, actually, we have 26 volunteers who are in North Carolina and just that one location serving their neighbor today. And it's been almost a year since that hurricane hit. So they were there on day one. They're still there, and they're going to be there probably another year. But again, that kind of corporate focus on disaster response and serving the neighbor has allowed them to be able to do this wonderful, wonderful work.
Tell us about the theme for the conference happening this year in September.
Yeah, so the theme, we're excited about it, is called Serving the Suffering, the Church's Role in Recovery. So there's a kind of a dual alliteration in this, right? So kind of that calling that we have as Christians to serve the less fortunate among us, those who are suffering, those who are enduring certain things, which was the theme of our youth gathering this last summer. So as we serve those suffering, and there is a role for the church in response, and it's going to look different than a secular organization, because there's lots of secular organizations out there that are doing disaster response work, and they do fine work, but the church's role is a little different. We get to proclaim the gospel. We get to pray with people. We get to share the love that we have in Jesus, and then we get to connect them to local congregations where they can hear that on a regular basis. So that's kind of the theme for our conference, and there's going to be all kinds of practical applications of that as well through that time.
You brought up a good point, how LCMS disaster response is different than many of the other fine secular organizations that provide disaster response services as well. Why is it important for us to consider, especially in this conference as we're learning, how it's important that both physical and spiritual care is important in a disaster response, that those go hand in hand? They can't be separate in what we do as Lutherans.
Yeah, so when we confess in the creed that God has made me and all creatures, He's given me my body and my soul. Of course, He's giving my eyes, my ears, all my members, and He still takes care of them. But we confess that this distinction within the human person of body and soul is one that we should be not just acknowledging as a confession, but also serving and loving, because God will work through us to care for our neighbors. Right? So Martin Luther says, "Well, God doesn't need our good works. Who does? Our neighbor does." And so that's the focus. So how does God provide for body and soul to our neighbors? Well, it's through us. It's through our church body. It's through our various congregations who find themselves in the midst of extraordinary times, and we can work together to serve these individuals.
What are some of the topics and speakers for the conference?
Yeah, of course. Well, we can't have a disaster conference without talking about a theology of mercy. So
right. That's
one of the things we're going to look at. But most of our topics are very practical in nature. So there's going to be, we have a ropes course, which is not like when you have youth and you're kind of climbing on ropes. This is how to use ropes in a chainsaw setting, with bringing trees down and limbs and pulling and those tying knots. Kind of like you're in Boy Scouts again. And then we have a couple of different case studies, which is an opportunity for an impacted community leader, the pastor, or our district coordinator to come and simply share with our participants and our attendees what they've been through in the last year, what happened in their community, how did we work together as the LCMS and disaster response to come and care and show people the love of Jesus, how we served them. And so we get to kind of learn some best practices there, what went well, what didn't go so well. We're also going to have some best practices for our assessors. We're going to actually be unveiling our new LERT manual and our LERT training curriculum too. It hasn't been under a significant revision since 2014.
Oh, wow.
And that's 11 years ago. So we've recently renovated. We've revised it. It's appropriate. We have revised it significantly so that moving forward, our LERT training will be just a 3-hour training. And there's going to be accessible modules before and afterward for anybody to participate in. So whether that's just a congregation on a Sunday morning wanting to learn more about how and why we should be engaged in mercy, and then some of the continuing education modules of how do we provide spiritual care? What does first aid look like? What does tarp and patch look like? Or other things. So there's going to be a lot of kind of continuing education modules that people can engage in as a part of that. So we're going to unveil that. And then we're talking about worksite safety, considerations for cooking ministries on how they can engage in disaster response work. We have a couple of very high profile ones that are RSOs in our Synod, and we partner with them, but we're always looking for others to partner in this important way. And even something as simple as AEDs, right? And stocking our trailers, our alert trailers with first aid equipment that they might need and hopefully never need, but if they do, it's there and they have training for it on how to use it.
Man, this is like, this is legit. All the important things. That's significant. A lot of great things that you can learn at the upcoming LCMS National Disaster Response and Training Conference this September. Who might want to attend and how do they do that?
Yeah, so, well, anybody can attend. It's, we have our district coordinators come, we have our trainers come, and there's a special day on the front end that's just for them. That's September 17th. The 18th and 19th, though, of September are open to the general public. Anybody who has an interest in joining in disaster response work, who wants to hear a little bit more about what it is our church body does, who maybe wants to engage in conversation with some of our leaders and figure out how they can plug into this as well. This conference is for you. So you can find the information on this on the LCMS webpage on our calendar. Calendar, I wish I had this right in front of me.
We'll post the link in the
calendar.lcms.org, yes. And then look for the 2025 National Disaster Response Conference. It's $75 to register and lodging. You are responsible for that on your own, unless you're local, of course. But the $75 includes all meals. We have a banquet. So it's really, really a good deal.
Very good. You can find that on the LCMS website. We'll provide a link to it as well in today's program notes, so you can find it there. Our guest today, the Reverend Michael Meyer, he's Managing Director for the LCMS Office of National Mission, also serves LCMS Disaster Response about the upcoming LCMS National Disaster Response and Training Conference. That is September 17th, 18th,
and 19th.
Yeah, it's taking place very soon. All three. Pastor Meyer, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.